It's Monday on Crane & Company, so we have our power rankings, and there's a lot of movement at the top, in the middle, and at the bottom. We want to know what you think. Welcome into a Monday on Crane & Company, and don't worry. We know it's Monday, but it's our job to help get you through it with the best college football and college sports content that the world, not just the internet, has to offer. And that's why you watch Crane & Company. Make sure you're subscribed. We're almost to 200,000. And since it's Monday, fellas, David Cone, former Michigan quarterback, Blaine Crane, former Western State, Colorado wide receiver, just did gunpoint at you, so don't be
nervous. I won that battle. I won that duel.
It's Power Ranking Monday. And if you kept up with the show, last week we shattered a glass ceiling.
That's the Les Miles ceiling.
Yeah, we shattered a glass ceiling. We actually had to use math to determine our power rankings because we were so far apart when we looked at our individual ones because this is a compiled list. It is a power ranking. It is a top 15, and it is a snapshot in time. It's not a projection. We do that on Tuesdays with our college football playoff projections. This is a snapshot in time. And we had to do it again today, fellas.
We ran it back.
We had to do it again. But now we have a formula that we like.
We each made our top 15.
All right. Yeah, David, explain to them in mathematical
terms. Oppenheimer, do your thing.
Yeah, hear the music.
We just each made our top 15 and then took an average position of each team. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that qualifies me for Oppenheimer.
You could have made that sound so much like more.
Something just blew up. Something just blew up somewhere.
The quantum theory aspect of the average that we took, though, is very, very combustible.
Yeah, it is. It's and numbers impressive. And
pie. And
we're breaking seals.
All that.
Ice
all
cream.
That stuff. Yeah. Blaine, I mean, look, there's a lot of similarities at the top as opposed to what we had last week. But a lot of the arguments are starting to get in the same. And 10 through 15 again is where the bread's really getting.
Yeah, going. I mean, it really just comes down to, I mean, where do you put one-loss teams against undefeated teams? What's that undefeated team's schedule?
Yeah.
How strong is that schedule? What's that one loss look like for that one-loss team, and what's their best win?
Well, and yeah, what do you value more, like a great win or a great loss when you're comparing equal things? That's where it comes down to. But all right, we're going to start out with honorable mention, all right? And we got a team making their debut in honorable mention as well. But we got Louisville, all right, in honorable mention, continuing that big win over Miami. Didn't look great against Boston College because Boston College is absolutely horrific this year. But Louisville's going to stay in honorable mention. We have Willie Fritz in Houston as well.
Time to start talking about
him. It's time to start talking about him. Again, we've tried to warn people about Willie Fritz. The man can do it. Cincinnati continuing to be solid. Mm-hmm. I think now 7-1. Yeah. Still undefeated in the Big 12.
I mean, their first loss, too, I believe it was week zero against Nebraska.
By 3 points in Arrowhead to Nebraska. They've won every game since then.
Yeah.
And on the Houston point, their only loss is to Texas Tech.
No, it's like it's...
They could play in the Big 12 championship.
Yeah, these two teams legit. And then the last honorable mention they have dropped out of the top 15 is Oklahoma. Obviously, they get to play Tennessee this week on the road. They can find themselves in that. You know, we did have a preview of that game coming out very, very soon. That's basically a de facto elimination game, or as Cone coined it, a play-out game, which I love that. We need to patent that. So that's honorable mention. We feel good. Everybody feels happy. Mention your name. Celebrate.
I feel honored. Celebrate.
Navy.
All right.
Navy.
15. Yeah, Navy. Navy. Believe me, you were going to hear a lot about Navy. All right, 15. Virginia, the Cavaliers. Talk about escaping. North Carolina went for 2 in the win. In overtime, it didn't get it. Virginia wins 17-16. Did not look great, but they continue to win. They continue to find ways to stay undefeated in the ACC because, remember, and we have to bring this up every time, their loss to NC State was not a conference game, believe it or not. So Virginia, David, at 15, hanging strong.
I keep waiting for Virginia to drop another one, but they haven't. I mean, the last 2 weeks, they've beaten North Carolina and Washington State by a combined 3 points in those two football games. But it was the week before that, which is why they've elevated and why they have to stay above Louisville, because they beat Louisville
on the road.
On the road. Yeah. They beat them in Louisville. And remember, their only loss is at NC State. Like you said, weirdly enough, not a conference loss.
Who do they have the rest of the way?
They got at Cal.
Okay.
Wake Forest at home,
okay.
At Duke, and then Virginia Tech at home.
So, look, I know the Virginia Tech game's a rivalry game, but really it's at Duke that... And Wake did...
And at Cal.
Yeah, you know, Cal, we know what happened against Virginia Tech, obviously, but you're feeling like Virginia...
Yeah.
You know, you got to feel about as good as anybody if you're Virginia.
Yeah, sure. What makes us put Virginia over Cincinnati? Is it the wins? right, that make the difference for Virginia? Because I think Virginia's loss is to NC State. Really not that, I mean, good of a program.
I think beating Louisville on the road is more impressive.
Right, does that put, since he's done. Push it over the top? I mean, Nebraska, you lose, Cincinnati loses against Nebraska week zero by 3 in Arrowhead. Have a good win over Iowa State, who was ranked 14.
I mean, is that a good win anymore?
At the time, they were
Iowa
ranked
State?
14.
Like,
no, but they'll play at Utah and they'll play BYU.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Cincinnati will get two great chances right there.
And we've had Virginia kind of since that win at Louisville. And really, I mean, you know, beat Florida State too, which we all know Florida State ain't exactly balling after their week one win against Alabama this year. I can understand if somebody wanted to put Cincinnati over Virginia. If we're going to quabble about honorable mention and who's at 15, that's probably a good sign if that's the biggest problem that we have. But this goes back to what we brought up earlier. What do you value more when you're measuring teams with similar or equal records? Virginia has one loss. Cincinnati has one loss. Cincinnati's loss is to Nebraska, okay, which, again, not the worst loss in the world. You played them in Arrowhead. Virginia's loss is to NC State, which looks a little bit worse. But Virginia has a better win going on the road and beating Louisville than Cincinnati has, and they're going to get their chance to make up for that and move past Virginia, because if Cincinnati goes undefeated and wins out and gets to the Big 12 championship game, and then Virginia wins out and gets to the ACC championship game, I think by that time, Cincinnati should jump Virginia because they'll have better wins mm-hmm. and a better loss. We're just not there yet.
Yeah, I agree with that. 14?
Yep, 14. Let's go ahead and bring this up. Tennessee.
Here we go.
2 loss.
And remember, we had, what did we have Ole Miss last week? 13? Is that where we had Ole Miss? And we're going to have a big jump here. So Tennessee, if you're able to beat Oklahoma, who we have in honorable mention, at home this weekend, I think you could see a big jump. We know the rest of that schedule. You still have Vanderbilt at home at the end of the season. But if you can get past this one, it's really starting to look like, I mean, your losses would be against Georgia at home by 3 after a missed field goal and on the road at Alabama. And we all know 10-2, 100% gets you in the college football playoff out of the SEC. It's just, can Tennessee do it in the back half?
Two of the best losses in the country, just like the team that I believe is going to be ahead of them in Notre Dame, but no great win. Like, Tennessee does not have a great win.
No great win.
You know what I mean?
And that's why they're at 14. I mean,
I mean, your best win really right now would probably be Arkansas. You have one over Syracuse.
Or Syracuse ETSU. To start. Yeah
Syracuse
to start. I mean, none of those. Angeli,
that was before Angeli went down.
Sure. UAB, Mississippi State, Arkansas, and Kentucky. So, I mean, look.
But you still control your own destiny.
Sure.
Tennessee is not playing in the SEC championship game.
No.
You can go ahead and say that's gone. So now it comes down to these last, what, 4 games?
Yep.
4 games. You're 6-2 right now.
You're 6-2. Oklahoma at home. New Mexico State at home. At Florida. And obviously Vanderbilt to finish the year.
Yeah.
And just think about it. Tennessee at Florida in the swamp to keep playoff hopes alive. And then at home against your in-state rival in Vandy. Potentially a play-in game at that point.
Yeah, let's see what Vandy's record is.
Yeah.
Because if Vandy's rolling in there with only one loss, and that's the last game of the season, Vandy's already in the college football playoff. Now it's, can Tennessee beat Vandy to have 2 teams from the state of Tennessee in the college football playoff? All right, let's get to 13. Level up your workout and join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app free for 7 days at fitbod.me/booster. That's FITBOD.me/booster. We've all used it. It's how we got super jacked and tan, lost a little weight for lady ballers. It's like having a personal trainer within your setup. Mm. So it's like, it's not even, there's not another human being with you, but it understands the setup. It understands how not to burn me out. I mean, you got all these demonstration videos. And again, you got to keep the body guessing.
To keep your bod fit with FitBod.
Anyways, fitbod.me/booster, FITBOD.me/booster. Notre Dame, best 2-loss resume in the country, right?
Yep.
We can go ahead and we can say that when you look at the wins, or excuse me, the losses. Notre Dame lost to Miami. We know what they've been doing, even though it hasn't been super sexy the past couple weeks. And then A&M that just beat LSU's ass so bad they fired Brian Kelly for $54 million. Look, the rest of this schedule, we talked about them getting past USC. You know, you'd have to feel good about it if you're Notre Dame. You look at the rest of the way, I think 10-2 Notre Dame gets in. I mean, Blaine, you said it after they beat Arkansas. Again, do I think Notre Dame is worthy of a top 10 ranking right now? I don't. I think 13's about right. But, I mean, Coney How good can this Notre Dame team be? Can this Notre Dame team be a national championship winning team?
Well, I think they could get there. I think they could get there. I like their offense better than a year ago with Riley Leonard, and they made the national championship. The question is the defense good enough to do that? And remember, not just impressive losses with who you lost to. Losing at home to Texas A&M right now is actually kind of a more quote-unquote impressive loss than going on the road and losing to Miami the way that Texas A&M has been playing, but also point differential. You lose by 3 to Miami and 1 to Texas A&M. That's 4 combined points in a way that Tennessee, who you're right in front of, the Alabama game got away from them in that one. Yeah. So, and to be honest, I still think the USC win was a very impressive victory for Notre Dame. So they do have a good win there. Not going to be a lot of stiff competition moving forward. I mean, we've talked about that. So, and you're not going to play in a conference championship game, right? So you really got to win out, go 10-2, and just let the chips fall where they may in terms of the seeding.
Blaine, any qualms on Notre Dame? You think they should be higher?
No, I think it's about right. I think, I mean, as much as it matters how you win, it also matters how you lose. And I think that's a great point you brought up. I mean, only losing by 1 against A&M and only losing by 3 against Miami.
Because you botched a hold on that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, those only look better and better. And kudos for playing those teams early in the year. Look, I knew Notre Dame was in the playoff after they beat Arkansas, right? And the real question is, look, no one thought Notre Dame could make it to the national championship last year. At least I didn't.
I agree.
I didn't think they were, one, explosive enough on offense and good enough on defense to make it that far. But it feels like Notre Dame is getting better and better week in, week out, right? C.J. Carr is getting better and better week in, week out, and that defense is low-key starting to figure out, which is not surprising for Marcus Freeman. So, yeah, Notre Dame sitting at 13 is fine with me. They're going to be top 10 by the year finishes.
All right, let's get to 12. And this one may cause a little bit of controversy. Oregon drops back. Last week we had them, what, David, 8?
Were they that high?
At 8 or 9 last week. They dropped
7.
Back at 7. So let's explain why, because we don't...
And they're 6 in the AP poll.
Yeah, we don't do this lightly. We don't think Oregon is a bad football team, but when you're looking at all of the parts, and we're in week 10 and you're looking at the resume, obviously Oregon has one of the best losses of all season, right? With Indiana, who's a top 3 team by every metric in everybody's polls right now and projections and all that stuff, and they should be. But now that Penn State has fallen off a cliff, and you look at the teams that are going to be in front of them that we're going to mention, yes, you have a great loss, but what's your great win? What's the best win Oregon has? Northwestern? Who's what, 5-3? Just lost to Nebraska on the road? So at what point, and again, if Oregon beat Wisconsin 63-0 and was rolling through people right now after that loss to Indiana, we could sit down and have a conversation about this Oregon team being elite, but they look like they're regressing. And either that or the young players, it's falling back to the mean, back to the average. Mm-hmm. Right? Because I think a lot of people were surprised at how well the young guys were playing early for Oregon. Maybe this is a learning curve and they're going to be able to ramp it back up. But I'm just looking right now at the resume and the way they're playing. I think 12 is about right.
Yeah, well, look, they are going to go to Iowa next. I think they get a bye week before that. They go to Iowa. Iowa's turning into a pretty solid football team.
Yeah.
You want to talk about losing 2 games by a combined what?
Starting to score,
something like them. Yeah, it's hard to score on them. And then you finish the year against USC and Washington back to back. Minnesota's tucked in between there. But if you're able to go 10-2 or 11-1 with that
schedule,
Oregon's going to position themselves just fine.
You're going to be in. It's just Blaine. I mean, to this point, you know, how do we feel about Oregon as this dominant elite team? I know
what happened last game against Wisconsin. Because, I mean, Dante Moore only has 15 pass attempts.
Well, that's what I was saying yesterday.
But they ran it well on that.
They ran it 45 times.
Well, the weather was bad, too.
Okay.
Like, the weather was an issue, but I looked up there and I didn't see Dante Moore out there. Now, I don't know why that was, but again, that was one of those games where, like, all right, we're going to watch a little bit of it. We don't really have to focus on it because we know how bad Wisconsin is. And I look out there and it's like, 14-0, and Dante Moore's not out there. I'm like, what happened?
Well, to me, it's not just about that Wisconsin game, because Alabama didn't look good on the road at South Carolina. Again, we can't just say that one conference is allowed to, like, play down to competition and another conference isn't and get away with those wins or losses, you know.
Yeah, I think South Carolina is a lot better than Wisconsin.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if they are, but the concept remains the same. I'm watching. We just talked about Tennessee. Tennessee is going on the road against Mississippi State, and they're playing them to overtime. I mean, Georgia can play Kentucky to overtime in years, and when Kentucky's at the bottom barrel of the conference, and we say, well, that just shows you how deep the SEC is. But when a Big Ten team does it, all of a sudden we're saying, well, that team's not any good because the bottom barrel of the Big Ten won a football game or played them close. That's not so much what it's about to me. The bigger point you made was, The win is not there right now.
Yeah.
I mean, and now you could say, like, I think they should say the same thing that LSU said again, the Clemson game was, we broke Penn State. Mm-hmm. That was a great football game in front of a whiteout. They took us to overtime, but we won that game at their place in an era where teams aren't really traveling multiple time zones and winning football games. We did that. Who cares if they fell off a cliff and fired their coach after that? But again, Oregon shouldn't be worried about rankings right now. They need to be worried about getting better every week. The way that an Alabama is doing, or the way that a Notre Dame.
And I think they have the capability to be really good. It's just, it's hard.
And the schedule works out, too.
Consistent. It does, but just win and it'll take care of itself. All right, 11, Texas Tech. All right, sitting there with one loss. We know what happened. Obviously, in that Arizona State game that was kind of crazy. Now Arizona State has lost again. And they're pretty much out of, or at least it feels like they're out of the Big 12 race. This Texas Tech team, the quarterback situation, the injury with Morton, then obviously Hammond having to come in. I know there's some questions there. Texas Tech, you have that win over Utah. You know, they were one of the hottest teams early. I'm not ready to call Texas Tech elite yet because of those questions at quarterback, even though the backup has come in and done a pretty decent job at some points, you know, outside of the Arizona State game. I think that's just about right for Texas Tech to be at 11. And they're going to continue to get BYU next. I think at home is the next game they play, which we're going to talk about BYU.
They're at Kansas State.
Or at Kansas State. Then they get BYU, I believe, at home. So Texas Tech is going to have a chance to keep moving up as well. But it's just with one loss, that feels about right.
Why Texas Tech over Oregon is because they're one loss. They didn't have their starting quarterback.
Well, again, this is an average, so I don't know
what you guys have.
True.
I had Texas Tech at 7.
Yeah, I had.
Skewed this.
I had Texas Tech at 12.
And this is where I had them last week as well.
Yeah. Well, it's with Texas Tech, you have a better win than Oregon.
Utah?
Yeah. Who's ranked? Like, so are we saying, all right, well, Oregon did lose to Indiana, was at home, but they don't have a great win. But since they lost to Indiana, that negates what Texas
did. Honestly, the win at Houston's looking pretty great, too.
It's looking better and better.
What, 35-11?
Looking better and better each week.
That's Houston's only loss.
Yeah. So, like, I've got no problem with Texas Tech ahead of Oregon. Because, again, it's going to work itself out. You're going to be able to see it as well. All right, let's keep going here. Let's go ahead and put up 10 and not. All right, yeah, we got Miami at 10, then BYU at 9. This is where the biggest arguments with people are going to come in is, what do you do with BYU and Georgia Tech? And we're even very different kind of on where we had them. I had, and I want to make sure we get to Miami, I had BYU at 10, so it's about right to me. But, you know, we've talked about getting to the point of being undefeated in week 10. Should that just take precedent because you put it together so many times in a row? Then you have Miami sitting there, who obviously lost to Louisville 2 weeks ago, ended up blowing out Stanford, didn't look great. So BYU is because I had Miami in front of BYU, like in higher rank, but ranked better than what BYU was. But I can understand trying to be consistent in, well, BYU's undefeated. I mean, how good do we feel like Miami can still be as elite as what we thought? And can BYU be elite down the stretch now that they won two quality games?
I mean, I think both things can be true. When you said, I think Miami has the talent to figure it out. I think they figured it out a little bit in the second half of that Stanford game. I think Miami obviously has a better win, which is Notre Dame, but BYU is undefeated. I had BYU ahead of Miami in my rankings. I think BYU has a solid win. And look, what week are we in? Week 10?
Week 10.
Week 10, and you're still undefeated.
Hard to hide it for this long.
It really is. And I think the way Miami lost against Louisville, it wasn't a finesse loss. It was Louisville physically beat you up for four quarters. And Stanford was in that game halfway through the third, realistically. And then Miami put it on them. So I'm fine with this. I'm fine with BYU at 9 in front of Miami.
Well, I had BYU at 5. So
yeah. I know. But
I really like this BYU team. I mean, you keep waiting on a freshman quarterback to play like a freshman, but he's not. And he's wearing number 47. Miami, I had at 11. I think there's an important point to make here, which is, you know, Louisville's a good football team, so I don't think that's a bad loss, but it was at home. The Stanford game where you didn't look good for 3.5 quarters, that was at home. Miami hasn't left the state yet, and to be honest, they've only left the 305 to go to Tallahassee, which was a great win that week, but not since then. I mean, Florida State has fallen off a cliff. Mike Norvell's about to be the next coach possibly to get fired. I wonder, they're going to go on the road to SMU, who also isn't blowing the doors off.
Yeah,
right
they just
now.
Lost to Wake Forest.
You know, they finished the year at Virginia Tech, at Pitt. I just wonder if Miami is going to start to have a similar fall off to last year once they start to leave the state of Florida when they're already struggling to win some of these games at home.
Well, if Miami drops another one, and goes 10-2 and doesn't make the ACC championship game, I don't think they make the college football playoff. I think it's a very similar situation to what we had last year.
So then that creates a scenario of what if Notre Dame is also 10-2?
You guys have heard about Bearskin, right? Show them, David. Beautiful. Luxurious. That. We all know winter's coming up. You got to be locked in. You got to be ready to go. All right? Because if you're waiting to order a hoodie or a jacket or whatever by the time it gets cold and the weather's terrible, you're already cooked. All right, you got to stay on schedule. It's like a good offense. You're trying to stay ahead of the chains. So do yourself a favor. Text the word CRAIN, C-R-A-I-N, to 36912 to lock in 60% off the Bearskin jacket. It's basically a transformer. Zips into a hoodie. It's got 10 pockets, 340 GSM micro fleece. It's built like a tank, if we're going to be honest. All right, so text CRAIN to 36912. You'll get a link that sends straight to your phone. So you can check it out later if you're busy right now. So don't wait until you're freezing to realize your hoodie sucks. Get a Bearskin now. Text CRAIN to 36912. Get 60% off and 100% warm deliciousness this winter.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
What if Notre Dame's 10-2, Miami's 10-2, neither play in a conference championship, one because they didn't make it, the other one because they don't have a conference, and you have the head-to-head over?
Yeah, they're great. You have to pick Miami.
That's tough.
Well, you say that, and I get that, I understand that, but Notre Dame's going to sit there and be like, wait a minute. Yeah, we lost to Miami early in the season. We're both 10-2. Our other losses to A&M, you know, I feel like the schedule argument depends on who Miami loses to, I think, for that second loss as well. If it's like an egregious loss or whatever, I just don't think a 10-2 team from the ACC that doesn't play in the ACC championship gets in. I just don't. Especially if Notre Dame, they would. I'm telling you, I still think they'd pick Notre Dame over Miami.
With a head-to-head?
I still think they'd pick Notre Dame.
No way.
I bet they would. Because, again, think about it. Miami would have to lose again, and they would drop in the rankings behind Notre Dame. And the minute they drop behind them, if Notre Dame wins out, they're not going to move it. Notre Dame's going to make it. Yeah. They'll pick Notre Dame. Because, again, timing matters, too. I'm saying it's right, but it matters. All right, let's go to 8. Let's get 8-7. So 8 is Ole Miss. They jump back up after the big win on the road at Oklahoma. 7 is Georgia Tech, who's also undefeated. I can understand people who had BYU ahead of Georgia Tech. I understand Georgia Tech ahead of BYU as well. Kind of some similar thinking there. But, Blaine, I'm going to start with the Ole Miss. You know, you talk about showing us something. Can they continue to play consistent against teams they are better than? That's going to be the question down the stretch. You feel like you can pretty much pencil them in at 10-2 at worst, which means they're going to make the college football playoff. Sure. How high can Ole Miss play themselves? Like, if they win out, you could find yourself in the SEC championship game. I mean, you really could. But, you know, I'm just so impressed defensively from what I saw from Ole Miss.
Like, sure, I am too. That's the big thing I question when it came to Ole Miss, but I promise you that you can never pencil in an Egg Bowl.
Yeah.
Never pencil in an Egg Bowl, especially Mississippi State. I mean, they're
But if they're 10-1 at that point, it's not going to matter.
Yeah, I know from a playoff standpoint, but I'm just saying from a Mississippi State fan standpoint, I mean, look, they're playing everybody close, and including Florida. I'm fine with this. I had BYU ahead of Georgia Tech, and I had Ole Miss ahead of both of them. Look, there's nothing more dangerous than a Lane Kiffin coach team that can play defense. There's really not. And if they can keep figuring it out on the defensive side of the ball, they can beat anybody in the country. So I'm fine with them at 8. I had them higher than this. I think that's one of the biggest statement wins of the year, going on the road at Oklahoma and winning the way that they did.
Do we, like, and I get, again, all credit to Ole Miss and Pete Golding and the defensive staff. but I'm still, is it like, is it because Oklahoma's offensive line sucks? Like, because you're not, I don't think you're going to play a bad offensive line in the college football playoff. I just don't think that's going to happen.
Well, I don't know if they're going to win the national championship, but this was the most impressive victory of the season for me for Ole Miss. They earned a lot of my respect. I moved them up in my poll as well, and I think that they're going to make the college football playoff. Lane looks more focused than I've ever seen him as a head coach, and that matters a lot. And at a time, he's going to need that focus at a time when he's the hottest commodity in the head coaching carousel search with all these jobs opening up. He's going to need to remain focused because, remember, they started off with what? 7 wins, 8 wins in a row, something like that, 2 seasons ago, and fell off a cliff.
Yep.
They've got to remain focused. I was very impressed with this victory. And then Georgia Tech, I didn't grow up a Georgia Tech fan, but I'm from the state of Georgia. I'm so proud of this team and Brent Key and Buster Faulkner, our friend over there, Haynes King. This team plays with an identity. What do you have, 395 total yards and 5 touchdowns?
He just keeps going out there and just
Look, I love
pushing
it,
the wagon.
I love watching it.
Just pushing the wagon.
Private Dawson, man.
Like I just
Why Georgia Tech in front of BYU, though?
So, I mean, I think
I think personal list, y'all did y'all have them?
So I had Georgia Tech 9, BYU 10.
I had Georgia Tech 4.
The reason I have Georgia Tech 1 ahead of BYU is because I've seen this movie with Georgia Tech now for 2 years. I'm watching the movie for the first time with BYU, and I'm loving it. It's getting better and better, right? The climax is getting closer, and it's getting better and better, and you're seeing BYU grow and who they are. I've watched Georgia Tech do this. And remember, Georgia Tech lost Eric Singleton Jr. to Auburn, which is looking like an even bigger loss and maybe not even a great decision, honestly, by Eric Singleton Jr. right now. But I just feel like I still know more about Georgia Tech and they continue to win and handle business. Like
I'll tell you another thing for me. So for BYU, the last 2 wins at Iowa State and Utah at home, awesome, awesome wins. We've been talking about how this is a back-heavy schedule for them. But for me, Georgia Tech, because of the wins at Colorado earlier in the year, you beat Clemson at home, you won at Duke, they're already ranked higher. And with them being undefeated, it hasn't been possible in my personal poll for BYU to jump.
BYU hasn't won a big enough game.
Yeah, and maybe down the stretch, a win at Texas Tech, and I guess
you go beat Texas Tech.
But also at one point, it's not going to matter. If both teams just keep winning, BYU's not going to care if they're one spot behind because they're going to be like ranked fourth and they're going to be like hosting a playoff game or getting a bye or something.
100%. At this point, it's just, you know, put your ear to the ground and listen for hoofbeats. All right, let's bring up 6 and 5 right here. So this is a little bit different than what other people have. We have Georgia at 6. Their 1 loss is to Alabama at home. All right, you look at Georgia's wins. You have a road win against Tennessee, which, you know, it doesn't look bad. But Vanderbilt at 5, ahead of Georgia. Their loss was to Alabama on the road. It was 30-14. Wasn't as bad as what the final score dictated. But when you look at Vanderbilt, overall, I think Vandy has better wins than Georgia. They just have more of them, right?
One point I want to make, too, here, and this happened with Vanderbilt and Georgia at 5 and 6, and this also happened with Ole Miss and BYU at 8 and 9. In the average that we took from our 3 individual rankings, those teams tied. So Ole Miss and BYU tied with the same number of points. Ole Miss got 1 spot ahead because you two ranked them higher than BYU, which broke the tiebreaker. Same with Vanderbilt, Georgia. They were tied with the total number of points. You two put Vanderbilt ahead of Georgia. I had Georgia ahead of Vanderbilt. So you guys broke the tiebreaker there.
Yeah, and again, I think there's a very logical argument for having Vanderbilt 1 ahead of Georgia.
Yeah, true. And the second thing, I just like to piss people off, and I know this will do it. I mean, right now, you look at Georgia, I guess you could say they have the best win. I mean, Ole Miss at home.
Yeah.
You did beat Tennessee on the road 44-41. I mean, you look at Vanderbilt, you have wins over Missouri, LSU, South Carolina, who's ranked 11th at the time. You lost to Alabama on the road. So I feel like they're neck and neck, really. I feel like if you line these teams up on a Saturday, it'd be a legit pick 'em.
Even Georgia fans would tell you that.
I think they can say that legitimately. And I think the way Missouri just won against Missouri at home, Vanderbilt just won against Missouri at home, is fine for a little bit of a nudge, a little bump there for Vandy.
Yeah, this is a fascinating storyline, Vanderbilt and Georgia. All right, let's go ahead and just bring up the top 4. Y'all going to have a pretty good idea of what they are. You got Bama at 4. Okay, they continue. Look, it wasn't sexy against South Carolina, but you look at great wins. Alabama's got some of the best wins all season. A&M undefeated. went and beat LSU so bad they fired Brian Kelly. Indiana undefeated, Ohio State at one. We've gone back and forth. Could Indiana be one? Could A&M be one? I think so. But at the end of the day, none of them play each other. And if they all win out, they're going to be in some sort of order of 1 through 3 because they'll be undefeated. It's what's going to be fascinating is if BYU and Georgia Tech win out, how does that get played with Alabama and one of Vanderbilt or Georgia? Because, again, Georgia would have to play Georgia Tech because they play each other in the regular season. Look, so it's just fascinating.
There's a lot of football left. Teams are going to lose that we expect to win. Some teams are going to win we expect to lose. But that top four right now could potentially be the conference championship matchups for the two biggest conferences in college football. And I don't know which game I'd be more excited about. Yep. Buckeyes-Indiana in the Big Ten championship game or Alabama-Texas A&M. Texas A&M is playing like a team that could win the national championship to me.
They are winning in multiple ways. It's true.
What would A&M or Indiana have to do? Can anybody jump Ohio State at this point? Is there anything? If Ohio State keeps winning, A&M wins out, right? Is an undefeated A&M team, excuse me.
Are you talking about that wins their conference championship games?
Not even to the conference championship game.
Just short of that?
Ohio State goes undefeated, A&M goes undefeated. Would you put A&M at one?
God, what great problems to have.
I know, these are high-class problems.
Obviously, you have to, every week, you have to look back at the resume and say, all right, you know, Ohio State's best. I think a lot of it depends on when you're talking about A&M and Ohio State is how Texas finishes. Because that's your one kind of crossover, right? Because Indiana's going to play Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game if we get to that point. That'll work itself out there.
But Texas A&M would have wins at Texas, at Notre Dame. I mean,
Texas A&M wins out and beats Texas the last game of the season and Ohio State wins out and beats them, I think you put Texas A&M at number one.
I would agree with that, actually.
Yeah, I think
you'd put Texas A&M at number one. Now, the question is, jumping Indiana, I mean, the same thing. I mean, you'd have a great win at Oregon for sure. Penn State, I mean, they're going to play on the road at Penn State. That win's not enough. So I could be in favor of Texas A&M jumping just based off the schedule they would have to go through.
Yeah, and it'd be so funny. Ohio State played them the first game of the season. A&M plays them the last game of the season as kind of a juxtaposition. But all right, let us know in the comments. How do you like our power rankings? What do you agree with? What do you disagree with? Give us your best ranking. If you want to rank all 15 in honorable mention, that's great. If you just want to do top 4, top 5, it doesn't matter. Just make sure you're locked in. We're almost to 200,000 subs. And God, we got Maction and Fun Belt and all type of stuff this week. It is truly the best
Halloween
time of year, baby. So make sure you stay locked in to Crane & Company. Like the chances. I mean, not being excited about dressing up like Clark Kent and seeing my daughter as Wonder Woman. We're going. Bye.